Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. I find myself trembling this morning so you can pray for me. I have been very blessed this morning already being here. Sometimes we can question whether we've heard from God or not. And I think He's confirmed it this morning already. So I thank you for that, Philip. I had to think of depending where we come from, depending what we are doing, trees mean different things. I had to think in Bolivia. They see a tree, they're looking at a piece of furniture, or they're looking at a house, or they're looking at fence posts. You don't just go to the lumber yard and buy your lumber and make your things. You look at the tree and you cut it up for what you're wanting to do with it. And I had to think, Philip was talking about the roots. Some of these trees have been cut down for a number of years. A big tree. And out of it, there's many different shoots coming up. That root is still alive. If you cut some of them offsprings off, it'll keep right on going. There'll be more fence posts. There'll be more shade. There'll be more houses. And how fast they grow. You know, we think sometimes when our life looks like it's just sliced down to nothing. But boy, you should watch them trees grow. There's a big root underneath, and all of a sudden, there's nothing in that woods that'll grow faster than that tree that has been cut down once. So this morning, I've been very blessed as I think of the words that we've already heard. I also want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for all your love, your prayers, your support, and many, however you found yourself supporting in this last year. There's things that God did. But remember, we might have been what people saw, but they didn't see all the roots. They didn't see all the power. We were just men. There's a whole army. There's a whole forest somewhere else lifting us up, keeping us going. So I want to thank you all. Could we rise for a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for the blessed privilege and the opportunity that we have to gather this morning. Father, I think of the words that we've already heard. We can hear them as hard words. We can hear them as loving words. We can hear them, depending on our heart's condition, will be depending on how we react to the words. And so this morning, it is your love toward us that reminds us of we're heading for eternity. And any tree that is not bearing any fruit in your kingdom will be hewn down and cast into the fire. So Lord, this morning we pray that you'd continue to guide and lead us. I just desire to be your vessel that you can use, Lord. May you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The burden that I have upon my heart this morning is the kingdom of God. We started going through the book of Matthew for devotions while we were in Bolivia. And we got to the chapter of Matthew 13. And it's a whole chapter about the kingdom of God. And so this morning, I would like to take a look at some of these parables that Jesus gave. I won't be able to go through all of them. I won't be able to only be able to touch the surface of the great subject that is before us, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Now in the kingdom, Philip talked about these trees. And every tree, how can I say this? He's talking about good trees and bad trees. And I think that God is not just talking to the world. The world, it's a blessing if the world picks up the Bible and reads it. But the Bible's wrote for you and I this morning for the church. And so it is not just talking about the world, but there can be evil hearts right here. Can be good hearts and evil hearts right here. And so this morning, at the end of the world, at the end of time, God is going to have it. There's going to be a great judgment. The world is judged already. But the church will also. There will be a sifting going on in the end of time. In our upbringing, just a few comments before we start. In our upbringing, we heard that the kingdom of God is at the end of time. You know, when we die, then our time, when we die, then we can enter the kingdom of heaven then. Well, I'm sorry, if we don't enter it in this life, we will never enter it. It has to be today. It can't be, if you're expecting to enter it when you die, you've missed it. So this morning, I'm not necessarily talking to the unconverted, but I do pray that you will be able to get something from it. There is no two doors into God's kingdom. It is Jesus and Him alone. There is no two ways. And this other thing, I appreciate what Philip already shared. He's not wanting to bring, if a soul is struggling, to not shake it in the wrong way. That is not my heart either. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about that. But I'm not here to take anyone's assurance away. But God really spoke to us, or to me, while we was in Bolivia, and it has been a continuous burden on my heart, and it just gets bigger and bigger. So we live in dangerous times, and God wants us to take a look at our lives and see where we are in God's kingdom. It's God's love toward us when He tries us. He's not angry at us. But we heard about, Philip talked about pruning. Pruning. What happens in pruning? Do you think it feels good to the tree? You know, you prune a tree and there's sap that runs off of there where you pruned it. It hurts. Don't always feel good. And that is how it is with us. So we have in Matthew 13, I want to read to start with verses 3 to 9. We have here Jesus in the back end of chapter 12. They're telling him that his mom and his mother and his siblings are out here to see him. And he says, well, who are my mother and my siblings? And then he looks out and he says, it's those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Them. them are my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters. It must have been a hard thing for his mom to hear. But he left that place and he went over out to the seaside and he got onto a boat because of the multitudes, and he started teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 3 he says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." We've heard some of these verses already this morning. He doesn't start out by saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a sower. But if we go on down to where he interprets it in verse 19, he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, he's interpreting it. It is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. So here we have this parable. The parable of the sower. Who's he writing to, like I had shared before? We know that the Bible was given to all. It's for everyone. But most of the world will never read it. So it is for us today. We need to take heed to the words that we've just read for us today. He said that he has in verse 11, he goes on and tells, "He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them," who's them? "But to them it is not given, to the world it is for us." This passage makes more sense than it has ever made sense before in my life. You know, we have, in America here, we have tractors, and they do their seeding. And a lot of times this doesn't make sense. But in Bolivia, they don't have nothing to sow their seed with. It is all done by hand. And so they are seeding if they're doing wheat or barley or oats. Now corn is done in rows. But they're seeding it. They're throwing it. Or then they have the thing where they turn and it spreads the seed. And you know how it is. You want to get seed as close to the edge as you can so it all brings fruit. And so automatically some flies on past. Some goes on the wayside. Some hits some stony places and some falls under the thorns. Which, if you've ever been in Bolivia, it is hard to not get some under the thorns because they're everywhere. The other thing... We'll go to it says in verse 4, "When he sowed, seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." And that is one of the things that they do in Bolivia. When you have a field that you seed, they put stuff around in the fields to scare the birds away because they're hungry. There's not much there to eat, and they will come and get your seed. So there's a constant look. They're constantly trying to keep the birds out of their fields. Then there's the rocky places in verse 5. In verse 6, the sun comes and scorches it. Verse 7, some fell into thorns. And then we have verse 8 where it says that some brought forth 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, he wasn't giving us a farming lesson here this morning when he wrote these verses. He was talking to people. He was sitting on a boat And he's talking to people like you and I this morning. And in verse 18 to 32 or 23, he tells us what he's telling. He gives us the meaning of this parable. And I want to read this. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh that wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy received it. And he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. What is the word of the kingdom? What is the word of the kingdom? Verse 19, he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, it's God's word. It is God's word. So, obviously, at that point, they were not born again. They were seeking and following him. But could I suggest to you this morning that this heart, the first one here, the one that was on the wayside, could this heart have been born again at all? Or is this just for the world? I believe that this heart, each one of these hearts, they've been born again. They had an experience with God. They had an experience with God. And because of life circumstances and the choices they make, the first three kind of hearts did not make it. The first three kind of hearts did not make it. It's a hard heart. There's no place for the roots to go in. It says like the birds come, before he explains the parable, he says that the birds come and eat the seed on the way because there's no depth there. And he says, and he explains it in verse 19 and says, the wicked one catcheth it away. The wicked one come and catcheth it away. So this heart here receives the word of God, and he gets born again, but yet the word understandeth here is not just understanding, but it is he never stops to consider the things that he has heard. He never stops and takes at the heart the things that he's heard. Even though he might have given his heart to the Lord, now what? The wicked one come and catch it away. And it's not just that you and I don't have no choice in the matter, but it is influences the wicked one. That does not just mean the devil. Even though that is where all evil comes from, it is not just the devil. It is bad influences. It is the people that we associate ourselves with. It is things that we do in life. The choice is ours. It's not just that the devil snuck up on and took it away. No, you and I have a choice. You and I have a choice. As God's word is preached, we're not protecting or considering what we hear. Evil or bad influence, the wicked one, takes the seed away, and we will be unfruitful. There'll be no fruit coming from our lives. What are some of the bad influences that we can have? Like I said, people. People that we associate ourselves with play a big part. and where we will go in our Christian walk. It'll make a tremendous big difference on the people that we associate with. What about music that we listen to? It'll either harden our heart or it'll soften our heart. There's all kinds of gadgets that we could talk about, and the list can go on. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Be not deceived." And again, he's not talking to the world. He's writing to a church. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Be not deceived. What does that mean? Be not deceived. Why is he worried about us being deceived? See, the problem with deception is when I am deceived, I have absolutely no idea that I'm deceived. That's the bad part of deception. When I am deceived, I have no idea that I'm deceived. So it's a problem that Christians have. We get deceived. We get thinking on wrong thoughts. It's why the trees in the forest are so important, like Philip was talking to us about. It affects other trees. And we need each other. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to hear each other. We will not make it ourselves. God has never intended for us to make it ourselves. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What we sow, that's what we will get. Have you ever went out and planted corn in your garden and expected peas? Never. Have you ever went and planted apple trees and planted thorn trees and expected apples? It don't happen. And it's exactly the same way in God's kingdom. And somehow we think we can fool God. But God is not mocked. What we sow, we will reap. If our heart is hard this morning, and we're not considering God's word, God is not mocked. It's always someone else that's deceived. It's not me, right? That's the tendency of the human mind. It's not me that's deceived. He's deceived. That's the tendency of the human mind. But I also want to say that if our heart is open, God will show us. God is not against us, as we heard this morning. God is for us. If your heart is open to God, He will show you. He will not lead you astray. He will not leave you in deception. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. The question is, will corruption spend eternity with God? That's impossible. The opposite is also true. If we sow in the Spirit, and we keep sowing in the Spirit, will we end eternity in hell? Impossible. It's just as impossible that way. God is not going to trick us into something. We will reap what we sow. But we can't reap flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit all of our life. God puts that in the category of flesh, I believe. If we're not making a straight course for our life, we have to repent. The second heart, he gives a definition of this in verses 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, and right away with joy he receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. God's word was making a difference in this heart. With joy he received it. It changed him. I had to think this morning as we planted, sowed oats in Nicholas's field. And it wasn't because of the rocky ground, but it was some hard ground. We sowed seed over this whole field. And everything was looking really nice and green up to about this tall. And one day I seen over here in this one corner, it's turning yellow. And within a week, it was dead and gone. It was dead and gone. There was nothing there. We harvested nothing from that corner of the field. The seed was the same, but the soil was different. And that is how it is with our hearts. The seed this morning is the same for you and I, but our hearts can be in different places. What kind of fruit will come from our life? A lot of times, that is the Christianity that we live in today, is it looks really good, but when the heat gets put on, persecution comes, trials, tribulations, like we heard, and it just he just burns it up. It wasn't good for a thing. Nothing. And yet, tribulation and trials work other things in the hearts and lives of those who God loves. He's not against us again. In Hebrews 9, verses 9, 10, and 11, he says, "Furthermore, ye have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily in a few days chasten us with their after their pleasure. But he," talking about God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Now no chastening for this present seemeth to be joyous. There's nothing that is joyful about being tried. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Two people can go through the same thing. One can turn bitter and lose it. And another one that will bring forth more fruit than what it did before. So it's not the circumstances in life that cause men to go one way or the other, but it is the condition of our heart. It is the condition of our heart. If my heart is broken, yielded, soft, and pliable, there is guaranteed fruit. But if it's hard, it's guaranteed failure. There's no other way. So we have here the trials of life that come. Trials of life that come. And to this stony heart, he gives it up. And he goes back to his sin. And his sin might not be the terrible wickedness that we can think of that we did in our youth. But just filling a place, just filling a seat, just being idle. It can be a lot of different things. Are we backsliding? Are we questioning God's direction for us? Do we just want an easy life? we will not find people with an easy life in heaven. 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Not maybe. Not there's a good chance, but it says shall. It says shall suffer persecution. So it's not if we will, it is when we will, what will we do with it? Will we allow God to change us? Because it will do one of two things. It will either harden us or soften us. And the choice is always ours. There, God has given to every man that has ever been born that what it takes to make 100-fold. There's never going to be an excuse for 30-fold or anything less. God has given to every one of us what it takes to make 100-fold. It is not God's fault when we don't get 100-fold. It'll be our choice. How is it with soil? You know, we see fields here, and they look a little different than what the ones in Bolivia. The farm that we were, the things are just, not much grew. We had barley that got about this tall and wheat that got about this tall, and it was not going to get any bigger because of the soil condition. So what I wanted to say is it needs a lot of tilling, and takes a lot of manure, it takes a lot of organic matter in order for this soil to be brought up to it's going to bring forth fruit. You and I also don't automatically just bring forth fruit. It is not within us. It takes some pressing in. It takes some fighting. And it takes everything that we have in order to get that 100-fold. That manure, I had to think of that. That is some nasty, smelly, stinky, awful stuff. And yet, what does it produce? And that is how it feels sometimes in life as the pressure gets put on us. It doesn't feel good. We can get into quite some situations, and yet, God knows what it takes for me to bear forth fruit. He knows what it takes for you to bring forth 100-fold. And that is His desire for all of our lives, is 100-fold. John 15:2, another verse that has already been read this morning. Every branch in me, in who? In Christ. So it's another soul that has been born again. Every branch in me, in the kingdom of God, that beareth not fruit, He taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. No fruit, no eternal life. What is our choice? Pruning hurts. Pruning will never be fun. But it will bring that peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. Verse 22, he says, talking about the thorns now, "He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." What are the cares of this world? And I'm sure that we could, if I'd ask 10 people, we could get 10 different answers depending on what we are facing today. The Greek, it says, worry or concern or anxiety. Are we to worry about the cares of life? Should we be concerned about the cares of life? If we are worrying or over concerned about the cares of this world, it chokes the Word of God. and we become unfruitful. That's what it tells us in verse 22. What about riches? How are we doing with our riches? And you know, I really didn't want to speak about these things. You've all blessed us so abundantly. And yet, God has wrote these verses down. I did not. And I did not want to go over it. But at the end of the day, these words are still in the Bible. They're not my words. They're God's words. The deceitfulness of riches. It chokes out God's word and we become unfruitful. We know that laziness is sin. So just deciding to not do anything so I don't have too many things is also not the answer. Laziness is also sin. The road is in the middle. And somehow, we can always convince ourselves that that's where we are. That's how I find myself. You know, I can convince myself where I am, right? That's why it's called the deceitfulness of riches. The amount of our riches is not what we're talking about here. You know, the richest of the Bolivians, where we were, probably had less than the poorest of us here. And yet, taking even the poorest of the Bolivians, they can fall in this trap just as easy as you and I. It is not the amount of the riches that we have, but it is how we handle these riches. It is what they do to me, what time they steal from me, what I'm chasing after. So we have to be careful. This is wrote for all of us. I had to think of Ephesians 5:27. He's coming back for a church, Jesus is, and it says that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. A spot or wrinkle, does that sound sinful? Could it just be unfruitfulness, which is also sin? A spot can just be a flaw. You know, my way, my idea. And it does not look like sin on the surface, but it will not spend eternity with God because He's coming back for a pure and a holy church, not one that has spot or wrinkle. A wrinkle is a crease. I don't know that it's more than just being unfruitful. But Jesus' bride will not have any of it. He's coming back for a glorious church. And it is you and I's choice if we'll be part of that. Not having spot or wrinkle. He's not coming back for a backbiting people, but a glorious church. Verse 23, but he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Good ground, a teachable heart, an understanding heart, a heart that understands and applies it to his life. The question that came to me this morning was, what happens, when we don't read about it, what happens with those who bring forth less than 30% increase? What happens? We don't read about them that I hear of here. What happens? Some will bring 60, or some 100, some 60, and some 30. God has given everyone that seeks His kingdom first everything that it takes to bring forth 100-fold. Everything that it takes. It'll never be God's fault again. Where are we in God's kingdom? not all that enter in will make it to the end. Where are we today? The next parable, he starts in verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up tares, we root up also the wheat with them, that both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together the first, gather first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I was also had to think this morning. The first parable, he talked a lot of what was on the outside of the field here. Now we don't read anything about the outside of the field, but those that are pressed in a little harder into God's kingdom. It's another parable of the kingdom of heaven. And then we'll go to verse 36, where he gives the interpretation of this parable from 36 to 43. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came to him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus makes it real clear here what this parable is. He that soweth the good seed is a Son of Man. He that soweth the good seed is Jesus Christ. The bad seed sower is the devil. The field is the world. The good seed is the children of the kingdom of God. And the tares are the children of the wicked one. verse 39, we read of the enemy that sowed the bad seed was the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. In verse 40, first the tares, the ones who have never been born again, these are judged already. There is no hope for them. They get gathered up and they get burned. Verse 41, Jesus sends his reapers out in his kingdom. And to gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend, and they which do iniquity. And that's the burden of my heart is, you know, we can say that we're not Calvinists. We don't believe in once we're saved, we're always saved. And yet, we can easily find ourselves in that category where we think, I'm okay. Now, we know it's not okay for the man over here, but me, I'm still okay. And I just desire for us to check our hearts this morning and see where we're at with God. Where am I at with God? I don't want to come down harsh, but let's look and see where we're at. If I think of one soul of you here not spending eternity with God in heaven, breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And so if you can receive it in love this morning, that is my heart's desire. It's God's kingdom, His kingdom, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. The terrors have already been judged, but now we're talking of another judgment, the one in His kingdom. Now the good seed that He's talking about, there's another sifting. And there's another picture that comes to my mind as I was in Bolivia. There's some places where they have combines, but where we were, they did not. And they have this pile of grain that is piled here. And you'll see them there, standing there, and they're throwing this seed up in the air. And the wind is blowing the chaff away. And there they stand, and they throw up this seed. They throw up this seed, and they throw up this seed until it's pure seed. Now, as you get over here closer to the end where the wind has been taking it away, you'll see seed here that looks like this seed over here in the good pile. But why is it over here? There's nothing in it. It has the right look. It looks okay. It looks okay. But it flew off. The wind carried it away. And that's also the picture that God gives us. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. How is it with us? All things that offend and those that do iniquity, just like the tares, will be burned up. The judgment is the same. Offend is not the same word as... Offend is not like we use it today. He offended me. You know, he hurt my feelings. That is not what he's talking about. That's not what the word offend means here. The word offend is as a trapper, and he sets up a snare to catch an animal. He's out to get something. It's not just somebody that happened to come along and hurt my feelings. That is not what he's talking about. But it is somebody that spends time to see how he can ensnare a certain thing. Purposefully causing someone to do wrong. And the thing that I want to suggest is that the offender is probably deceived. He probably has no idea that he's deceived. So it can look very good in the things that he's trying to get other people to believe. It can look really good because he's probably deceived. In his mind, he's doing the right thing. And forgive me, but this morning I had to think of this idea of grace. Now, there's no other way into God's kingdom than grace. There's no other way in God's kingdom than by the grace of God. But for everything to just be grace... You know, we hear this that men, we can't put no order in our lives. It's not about works. It's all about grace. It's wrong. And grace, there's no way that grace, because what is grace? Grace is Jesus Christ that was given to us as a gift, so that we can be saved. And that was given to everyone that ever walked. But it is only good to those who have enough faith to believe that that is what it is. So grace, it takes faith to make this grace available to you and I's heart. It takes faith. I'm sorry here, I'm not following myself here. So it takes faith. But at the end of life, when God sends His angels, what will be the judgment? What are we going to be judged by? Our grace? Our faith? Or is it our works? It's our works. It's our works that we will be judged by. Men talk a lot about grace and faith, but these are only proved what kind of grace and faith that they have by their works. And works, just teaching works, will end up in deadness. The three go together. If we are teaching that works don't matter, or our lifestyle don't matter, we will be gathered out of God's kingdom and be burned, because it is not the pure gospel. Offend, something that causes someone to sin or go the wrong way. It doesn't necessarily just mean to sin, but someone to go the wrong way. So we need to be careful. Remember, God says, be not deceived. I'm guessing that 99% of the time that there is an offender, someone caught trying to cause someone to go the wrong way, he's deceived. He's not doing it on purpose, but he's deceived. Or at least I can't imagine that there be people in the kingdom of God that would willfully turn somebody's heart to go the wrong way. So that's why I say I believe that at least 99% of the time, I believe that that person will be deceived. Because I can't imagine anyone in God's kingdom willfully turning someone's heart to go the wrong way. Iniquity simply means lawlessness, unrighteousness. Why are we so afraid of law? Well, the Bible says that if we live by the law, we shall be judged by the law, right? Well, if we interpret Scripture with Scripture, it says, how I judge others is how I will be judged. So the question that I have is, do I want to be judged as a person that follows the law? Or do I want to be judged as a lawless man? How do I want to be judged? As a person that follows the law? Or as a person that is lawless? There is no third option. Verse 43 gives us another glorious picture. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. God desires each one of us to not just begin well in our walk with Him, but end well. To go all the way with Him. It is not how good I start, but it is how well I finish. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun. That can be you and I in His kingdom, in the kingdom of our Father. There's more parables there that we could look at. I'm going to have to pick and choose. The one in verse 33 just recently made sense to me. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Now, when a woman is making bread, when our wives are making bread, just before she puts this bread into the baker, she sprinkles a little yeast on top, right? That's not how it works, is it? She takes this yeast and she puts it in there and she kneads it. I had to think of my life. That's how God's word is. He takes this seed and He puts it in my life. And He tenderly and gently kneads it all the way through my life. And then, I'm not sure if every bread recipe is the same or not, but my wife lets it sit there a while, and you can just watch that stuff grow. It just rises and rises, and pretty soon she goes back in there and needs it some more. And you think, well, this is, bread will never rise. You put it in the oven, and out comes a beautiful loaf. And that is how God's Word is in our hearts. If we allow God to knead it in our life and press it in and mix it all up, get it into every fabric of our being, it has to change everything about us. From the soles of our feet to the top of our head is how the kingdom of God, how God's Word should affect us. There's not one part, not one area of our life that should go unaffected. God presses it in and He needs it. And and when you think that it's all the way through and they let it sit for a while and then back at it they go. That's how it is in our walk, isn't it? Sometimes we think that, well, that trial's done now. But here comes another one, and God works it some more, and He works it some more, and He works all them hard lumps out of there until it all comes back, comes out as a beautiful loaf. That's how God's Word is to affect us. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid. That word hid doesn't necessarily mean she put it in a little place, but she mixed it up. She mixed it in. She's stirred it in there. She wanted every part of that 3 measures of meal to be affected by that leaven. We read of, I'll quit here in a bit. Verses 44 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field. And that hid is not the same word. That which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man selling goodly pearls. And when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What is the kingdom of heaven worth to you and I? What is the kingdom of heaven worth to you and I? Sometimes we like to sell a few things, or we get rid of a few things, but it doesn't tell us that pearl of great price is Jesus Christ. That pearl of great price is our Lord. And think if we don't give Him our all. I mean, after He gave His life for you and I, how must He feel if you and I stop anything short of making Him 100% Lord of our life? It's another message all of its own. But I wanted to bring it out. It is, have you and I given everything? Have we sold everything? Now, it's not talking about I don't think that Jesus was telling that we need to go sell our farms and our houses and our vehicles. No, they need to be His. They need to be His. And there's things that we need to get rid of. There is. He will make that clear to us. He goes on to say, says in one place that, I can't even quote it now, but, who's not willing to let father and mother, brothers and sisters, even sometimes husbands and wives, for the sake of the kingdom, they're not worthy of the kingdom, it says. So it's not talking, we talked about riches before, but it's not just talking about riches, it's talking about relationships, it's talking about every fabric of our being, like we talked about the leaven and hidden in the 3 measures of meal. It will affect every area of our life. So again, I don't want to be... God's love toward us is tremendous. It is great. It is marvelous. I'm not here trying to take away from the foundation. I can't take away from the foundation, Jesus Christ. But I just desire that we would look at our lives. Me, first of all, it has really affected me. And I hope that it will continue to affect me. And I just desire that we would all grow together in His love. So God bless you.